Have your Bibles, turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Moses is giving his farewell address to the children of Israel. He's poured his life into them, and he wants his work to last, and he wants the nation to endure. And he knows that the nation cannot endure unless there is a future for the family. And what he says there in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29. It says, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." Now, this is, I believe, one of the key passages in all of the Bible. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son," that's your grandchildren, "all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged." What he's talking about here is a future for the family. And here's the instruction. Listen to it. "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. I'm just really going to give you an outline here. Not really going to fill much in. So if you are taking notes, you're going to have to write fast, okay? There are three basic things that Deuteronomy tells us, that Moses tells us. First of all, the very first thing is that there is a future for the family that is promised. A future for the family is promised. If you look there in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2, "These are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee." Now here's the promise. "Thou and thy son's son," again, that's your grandchild, "all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged." And so what he's saying here is that the future for the family begins with the parents. It begins with mom and dad. And not only is there the future for the family, but number two, there is a foundation for the family that is provided. A foundation for the family is provided, and we see that in verses 3 through 5. Here's the foundation. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Very simply, here's the foundation for the family. Love God. Love God. It's a love for God. That might sound simple and even simplistic, but it is incredibly profound. We are to love God with a sincere love. That means with all of our hearts, mom and dad. We set the example to our children by how we love God. Many kids are turned off because they see their parents, while they profess religion, they don't see them love God with all of their heart. You might have heard of Karl Marx. Anybody ever heard of Karl Marx? Do you know he was raised in a Jewish family? They lived in Germany. And one day, Karl's father announced to the family, said, "We're moving to another church in another city." And they had been attending the synagogue faithfully. When they moved to this other city, Karl Marx's father came home and said, "We're no longer going to the synagogue. We're going to the Lutheran church." And Karl asked his father, he said, "Father, why are we switching and going to a different church?" And you know what Karl Marx's father said? He said, "Son, it's because of business reasons. I have more contacts in this other church than I would in this synagogue." And Karl Marx was so disillusioned with his father that something died within him. He said to himself, "My father had no real convictions. My father didn't really have a love for God." And so, you know, he started the movement of communism. And in his writings, he said this, "Religion is the opiate of the people." In other words, religion is just a dope. It's just a drug. Because he had a father, he saw a father that did not have a sincere love for God. We are to love God with a sincere love. We're to love God with a selfless love, with all your soul. What is your soul? That's yourself. That's who you really are. And then it's to be a strong love with all of your might. That is strength. That is physical strength, emotional strength, financial strength, intellectual strength. Love God. That is the foundation for the family. And then the last thing here, and probably the most important, number three, a formula for the family that is prescribed. A formula for the family that is prescribed. Now, this is where your parents need to tune in here, because God says that your faith is to go from you where? To your children. And then from your children to your grandchildren. And it's supposed to pass on like this. Now, honestly, it's not my job. It's not the Sunday school teacher's job. It's not anybody's job to teach your children. Now, we do it. We provide ministries here, but we are hopefully just helping you teach your children and raise your children for God. The Bible makes it very clear that is the family's responsibility. Look at verse 6. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in" where? Thine heart. They have to be in your heart first, right? Okay, they have to be in your heart. "And then thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." I'm not in your house a whole lot. The Sunday school teacher is not in your house a whole lot of times. Okay? You are in your house with your children. "And when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way." I don't have that opportunity to be with your children as we walk through life, but you do. "And when you lie down." I'm not there at night when your children go to bed. "And when you rise up," I'm not there either. See, this is the responsibility of the parents. You love God first with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then you pass that example and that love onto your children. How do you do that? Well, you do it convincingly. The Bible says in verse 6, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." You know, our children know whether it's really in our heart or not. They know if we love God or if we're playing Christianity, playing church. Now, my children know that I am not perfect. I'm not perfect by any means. But I don't think any of my children would ever say that I'm a phony. Because I think my children know that although I make plenty of mistakes, I still love God. And I have my faults, but they know that I love God with all of my heart. And that's where you need to be. Parents, especially dads here today, you're not going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. And thank God, love covers a multitude of sins. But love God. Love God. And let that be real. And then be creative. Look at verse 7. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You know, we're to be using life as a classroom, using creative means to teach the Bible, to teach God's truths and the gospel to our children. You know, for many times, I was guilty. I'd sit them down and I'd have Bible study, and I thought that was all I needed to do. But you know, there are a lot of times during the day that are, and things that happen in life that are teachable moments. And we need to grab hold of those teachable moments. And I know when we have a problem in one area, my tendency was we're going to sit down here and we're going to have hours and hours and hours of Bible study. And found out that really doesn't work. But as we live life, and I set the example for life, and I'm not saying we don't have times of Bible study. I'm not saying we don't have altar times. We do. But that's just a part of the process of how we do it. Isaiah 28, 9 and 10 says, "Whom shall ye teach knowledge, and whom shall be made to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line." So it's here a little, there a little, that we bring it all together. We teach the Word of God. We do it diligently. We do it consistently. And again, that is another part of my problem. You know, it's not that I don't want to teach my children, but it's hard to be consistent. You know, life gets in the way. And ministry gets in the way. And so we have to learn to be consistent. And then conversationally, in verse 7, thou shalt talk of them. Don't just recite these things. Don't just say, well, this is this Bible verse and this Bible verse and this Bible verse. And it's nothing wrong with using Bible verses, but use them in the part of your everyday conversation. What does this mean? What does this mean? You know, if you can find hundreds of ways to every day apply the Bible, the Word of God, to your life. It doesn't have to be dull. It can be interesting. Somebody said you don't give them the Word of God like cod liver oil. A dose a day keeps the devil away. In many ways, our faith is caught more than it's taught. They catch our spirit. They catch our love. And then verse 9, thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. That means your home should have scripture quotes. You should have plaques. You should have mottos. You should have things in your home for your children to look at. One thing convicted me years and years ago. I got so upset because they took the Ten Commandments out of the school and out of the courtroom, and I was challenged. I didn't have the Ten Commandments on my wall. What right do I have to say the schools can't have the Ten Commandments and you know, get upset about that, and the courts can no longer have the Ten Commandments? I didn't have it in my own house. We do have the Ten Commandments hanging up now. You come in our door, it's right there in their living room in the big peak. It'd be one of the first things that you would see is God's commandments. I would challenge you to put scripture plaques and get these Bible verses and things upon your walls. That's what it's talking about here. Here, the Jewish boys wore these, and leaders wore these things called phylacteries. And it was little scripture boxes, and they put them on their head, and they would have a box here. They would take that out, and they could memorize that scripture verse. Or they would have it on their wrists, and they could open it up, and they could read these scripture verses. Now, that's not really what the Bible wants us to do, is to wear these little scriptures on us, although there's nothing wrong with it. But I think what it's saying is you put it between the frontlets of your eyes, because that's saying that whatever you think about should be under the authority of God's Word. And whatever you do, whatever action you take with your hands, should be under the authority of God's Word. So this is some challenges. I'm not going to stand up here today and say what kind of trouble the family is in. I think we all know that. The family, not only in America, but across the world, is in trouble. But there is hope for the family. And it really is a very simple foundation that will cause the family to not only survive, but to thrive from generation to generation. It's simply this, moms and dad, it starts with us, that we have a love for God, that we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And our children see that love and follow our example as we teach them and as they catch our spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being our Heavenly Father and loving us so much. Lord, you set the example of love. You loved us before we ever loved you, before we ever thought of loving you, before we even could love you. You took the initiative and you loved us. And I want to pray for each dad here this morning, as we recognize them, that you would fill them with your love, and that your love would shine through them and give them that ability to love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if somebody